Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here on Thursday. Your chance to get a fix of the fellas, Hunter Eric. We're going to get into the Colin Peterson vote and the farm bill and the U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen, the Senate passing a resolution against the war in Yemen, and the House is held up and kind of held hostage until the new legislative session begins. We'll get into that later. We'll also be speaking with Steve Morris of the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. He's the executive director, and we'll talk about the climate news. Kind of bleak in the world, but Steve Morris has some good news on some things going on here in Minnesota, so we will provide that for you. But first, I wanted to start with a topic that I've covered a couple times. It's something that always interests me, is these new right-wing media figures, these reactionary YouTube and podcast figures, kind of the torchbearers who are being handed off from the Rush Limbaughs in this new generation of reactionary commentators. Eric, I know you're familiar with this realm. Do you have a favorite right-wing reactionary YouTuber or figure at all?
Yeah, absorbing this kind of poisonous media, I guess, is a hobby of mine.
Yeah, me too.
I would probably say my favorite might be Stephen Molyneux.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he is an anarcho-capitalist on YouTube and kind of a white nationalist. He does a lot of racial science, pseudoscience. And he's just the furthest libertarian you can find. He lives in Canada. Yeah, that's a good choice. I've watched a couple of his videos, and they're long. I watched a debate with him and a communist, and he just would not let the guy get a point across, and he does all these little tricky maneuvers to only center around his point.
Yeah, to dismiss it or anything. I don't know. It's kind of hypnotizing to me in a way,
mm-hmm.
because I don't really understand what people get out of it. I think it's just something they play on in the background, because his show or his videos, I guess, are more than an hour long.
Yeah,
it's just him rambling about the most mundane issues.
And that's the thing. A lot of these figures, they have like 3 hour long videos that have hundreds of thousands to millions of views. And it's like, who wants to watch a 3 hour video of these guys just talking into a camera? But this model was kind of pioneered early on. You have to give credit to Matt Drudge first in the Drudge Report. And his protege was Andrew Breitbart, of course. He ended up starting Breitbart News, and he was kind of a Hollywood figure and the first kind of conservative to explore new media. And he had two proteges of himself. There was Ben Shapiro and Milo Yiannopoulos, who both worked for Breitbart News as editors. And they kind of had two different paths that ended up occurring with the two. It appeared early on in 2016 that Milo Yiannopoulos was the new figure of the right-wing commentary. He backed Trump, and Ben Shapiro made the mistake of being an anti-Trump figure, which seemed like it was going to just destroy his future career. But
no, you can immediately just do a U-turn.
So the news right now is Milo Yiannopoulos is $2 million in debt and completely deplatformed from Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, kind of in the same realm as Alex Jones right now. But Ben Shapiro is thriving and has one of the most popular podcasts in the world. It's like in the top 10, most listened to. It gets millions of plays. His YouTube videos, he's got kind of an army that will edit any public appearance into these compilations of Ben Shapiro destroys SJW, and they get millions and millions of plays. But what was interesting is there was an article about Ben Shapiro and talking about how his media company is really much more Hollywood than you would expect. So he kind of rose to prominence with a Piers Morgan interview about gun control, and he totally flipped on Piers Morgan and kind of made him look like an idiot. And that's kind of Ben Shapiro's tactic, is he doesn't want to have any honest discussion. It's always to destroy whoever he's talking to.
Yeah, he's like a debate nerd, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he's really effective at this. But what's interesting is kind of the how they are running this company. It's just it's a completely Hollywood company of these kind of counterculture conservatives that have these really fancy cameras, and everything is pre-planned. The way Ben Shapiro dresses after that Piers Morgan interview, he looked like a kind of a college Republican nerd in that, and kind of the look that Tucker Carlson
gets. And you're saying he's fixed this issue?
Well, they put a lot of effort into this. They went to Macy's, bought a ton of these well-fit pants and neutral colored suits, and you just notice he's always wearing that. So this is a carefully crafted image for someone who wants to, who has the views of just rural area red states. So that article was kind of just fascinating for me. It's in Vanity Fair right now, but Milo Yiannopoulos was really, he played up the Hollywood look and spent money wildly. He had a college scholarship fund for white kids because he was saying white conservatives are discriminated against. And he ended up pocketing all that money. And he's done several other like GoFundMe things for projects that never materialized. So he's in $2 million of debt. And he tried to start a Patreon last week and it immediately got taken down by Patreon, but it was really funny looking at what his what he would give to Patreon subscribers. He offered from $2.50 up to $750 a month, but you really didn't get anything until you donated $50 or $100 a month. And for
you want quality, Hunter. You have to spend the money.
Yeah, so. Let's see, for $25 a month, you actually do get something, free Milo ringtones and text message alert pack. But like, say you donate $10 a month, all you get is 10% off Milo merchandise for life.
Did you say ringtones?
Ringtones! Ringtones!
Oh, I didn't know we invented time travel. We invented 2007. Like the crazy frog?
You're going to pay almost what would that be, like $500 a year? Just for that one set of ringtones. But let's say you donate $100 per month. You get exclusive invitations to drinks when Milo is in your city, and he's buying. So, there's no current Milo tour dates up, so I don't know when you'll be able to cash that in.
You know, but that might be a decent deal. When I go to the bar, he's paying.
Yeah, well, looking through this, that's one of the only good things you'd get from being a Patreon to Milo Yiannopoulos. But let's say you up your ante, $250, you still get that same deal of drinks when Milo is in your town, except you're buying this time.
All right, that's funny.
So he starts punishing you for donating more to him. And then the other things are like signed copies of his book, personalized email from Milo Yiannopoulos, but just
a personalized email.
It's total trash for donating hundreds of dollars a month to this guy who is a proven known grifter at this point. So I just kind of find that fascinating how these two careers kind of developed and the two different personalities, because back right after the 2016 election, Milo was kind of declared the champion and the future voice of the new conservative movement, and he's totally just failed and burned out.
It's interesting that he kind of learned his lesson about promising things with the Kickstarters. You know, now he's no longer crowdfunding for a specific project that he will not deliver on. He's just crowdfunding on supporting his lifestyle.
Yeah, and before this Patreon was released, he did a live stream where he was soliciting donations and just basically coming clean that those were all scams. and I need money to continue on because I am in a lot of debt.
I love to scam, and I need to continue scamming. Yeah. Help me out.
And people gave. He got about $2,000 for that. But since the Patreon got taken down, he has been dead silent. I was trying to look if there was any attempts, and there is nothing. And it's very hard to find him anywhere because, like I said, he's completely deplatformed. But he still thinks he can make a comeback somehow. So that will be interesting. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. We're going to take a early break, and then we'll get into the Colin Peterson vote and the U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Tom Hartman here for All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that you save more if you wait, but waiting to switch can actually cost you more. While tax rebates make solar affordable, those rebates are often limited and decrease over time. So when you wait, you risk losing some of the incentives that make solar so easy to afford today. And besides, the sooner you get your All Energy Solar system, the sooner you reduce or even eliminate that high electricity bill. Make the switch today at allenergysolar.com.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for over 45 years, invites you to shop through two convenient locations. Seward Co-op stores are committed to local producers and food you can feel good about serving your family and guests. Pre-order your holiday meal from Seward, local free-range Ferndale turkeys, handcrafted traditional vegetarian, vegan, and made without gluten sides, perfect for everyone at your holiday gathering. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store at 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Are you in charge of the company gifts? Looking for a great work party gift or maybe just something nice for yourself? Hi, this is Richard Piepenberg with Vinaigrette, and we're ready for you. We package, gift wrap, and even deliver the finest oils and vinegars so you can simply enjoy the holidays. Since 2009, our family-owned and operated store has specialized in everything vinaigrette. Come in to Tap, Taste, and Treasure, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and in downtown Excelsior at 287 Water Street. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Lowry Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here with you today. And a little change of topic. There's something that I've been kind of concerned with us on the left wing and our newfound trust in the FBI and CIA with James Comey and Robert Mueller, and just putting our faith in these agencies that we historically haven't trusted and shouldn't trust. So one of our regular callers, Mark from Fridley, is actually involved with this personally as a whistleblower and has been feeling some blowback from this. So I wanted to talk with him. Mark, are you on the line?
You bet, Hunter. How you doing? And I would say blowback is more like a tsunami with a hurricane. But tragically, that is the all-too-common response to attacks on national security whistleblowers. And we should be able to trust our politicians. We should be able to trust our FBI and our Department of Justice. But we have a tremendous amount of information right now coming down the pike that is contrary to what the political establishment narrative has been. And the American people better do some stretching, because this is going to get extremely complicated. The problem with the truth is that it's a supply and demand thing, and the supply always exceeds the demand. And having a little bit of information or having a little bit of knowledge is being like a little bit pregnant. There's no such thing. And what I've been doing over the many years with this station, thankfully, and the people at the Blue State Ball, appreciate everybody coming up and things
yeah.
of that nature or at events, people recognizing my voice, is that the people need to understand where the lines are drawn. They need to take off their blinders, and they need to accept the truth. Now, I'm looking at a copy of the New York Times right now, dated August 2nd, 2003. Report on 9/11 suggests role by Saudi spies. Where was that in 2003? Where were the calls for the investigations and the scrutiny? And what people that are just watching corporate media right now don't know is that this, the end of December, and a lot of political business gets done in December because everybody is going 1,000 different ways, and things get really complicated, and this is the time when you can release information and it will get summarily ignored. Mm-hmm. But there's two very key elementary lawsuits that have just taken place. And the first is the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 inquiry. This is a group of attorneys in the Southern District of New York that have sequestered a grand jury, and they're looking at the information and evidence from 9/11 and are demanding that we reopen the investigation. And why this is critical is that the military police surveillance complex, which is what I call it, was kickstarted at 9/11 and accelerated beyond what we already knew had been taking place, spying on American citizens since the 60s and the 70s. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned that the Saudi connection, and do you have any way to relate it to the bill going on in the Senate, the vote to stop the war in Yemen, and then the holdup in the House?
Well, what we need to look at is always is qui bono, which is Latin for who benefited, and follow the money. And if a country that we see as a foreign hostile enemy, like Russia and China, and believe me, peace is a much better option between the rhetoric that we're hearing from CNN. And Russiagate, Russiagate, Russiagate is just like the passionate and aggressive pursuit of WMDs or headlines in the Washington Post saying irrefutable evidence that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11. None of that was true. Yellow cake wasn't true. Aluminum tubes wasn't true. So, if the American people, or specifically Democrats or progressives or truth-minded people, want to get all jacked up about going after Donald Trump for paying off hookers, we need to look at what is it, in the hierarchy of crimes, we need to look at war crimes that we've been involved with that were kickstarted by the Bush administration, and we need to look at why one of President Obama's primary initiatives as soon as he took office was to make the comment, we need to look forward, not back, with respect to investigating war crimes of the Bush administration. Well, now, what's interesting is that we pay hundreds of billions of dollars a year for intelligence, and government seems to be the only occupation, outside of maybe being a football coach, where the more times you fail and the bigger you fail, the more money and power you get. George W. Bush, it was, to anybody that's been paying attention, it's shocking how many specific, detailed warnings from inside our own government and inside our own intelligence community and military and from foreign allies that warned us about 9/11. And yet, it happened on, like, clockwork.
Yeah.
And the death of American civil liberties and freedoms. And, you know, what people have to understand is that social control is best managed through fear. And as a result of 9/11, weeks after 9/11, one of our nation's most preeminent military generals and scholars, General Wesley Clark, quoted, said, we are going to take out, these are his words. You can go to YouTube and see this. In fact, it was on Democracy Now!, so it's got to be true. He said, we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, finishing off in Iran. He said that 2 weeks after 9/11 in the Pentagon. So, you know, a plan like that just doesn't come together. You know, and that's why we are in tragic and dire need of people like Bernie Sanders, who was the champion of this Yemen War Powers Act.
Absolutely.
And again, Congress has the authority to declare war. But you know what they did? They rewrote the Constitution, which they're not allowed to do. And I just want to, you talked about the Supreme Court and bias in the past hour. You look at the Supreme Court rulings over the past decades and see how they all came down to party line votes. So that's a place where we need to start. But when we have generals and scholars and academics that speak out and warn us, you know, give us this information, should we not have an investigation immediately as to why General Wesley Clark, a four-star general in the U.S. military and the supreme allied leader of NATO, said, yeah, we got a plan. We're going to take out seven countries in 5 years. And you know what? Those countries, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan. So he had some inside information. So if you're asking me, do I find Donald Trump's conduct and behavior repulsive? Of course. How did a person like that get elected to be president of the United States?
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you that we put too much focus on that. And the danger of rehabilitating George W. Bush's image and the things that he did. And this war in Yemen is totally linked to his control of terrorism and creating the Patriot Act and all that. And absolutely, we need a progressive champion like Bernie Sanders to get in office to fight this. And he's spearheaded it and done such a great job fighting this resolution in Yemen. And I applaud him greatly. But we got to take a break here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Phone number 952-946-6205. But we'll be speaking with Steve Morris when we return.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Need sides to complement your intimate or large holiday gatherings? Let It's Greek to Me cook for you and yours. Enjoy their house-made spanakopita, roast potatoes, Greek pastizio lasagna, Mediterranean salads, and desserts. We have you covered. Let our gracious catering take the pressure off. Take out or dine in at the restaurant, and our new marketplace is full of holiday goodies imported from our family and friends in Greece. Find It's Greek to Me at 626 West Lake Street in Minneapolis or at itsgreektomemn.com.
Hello to all my friends in the Twin Cities. Norman Goldman here. Every afternoon at 5 p.m. on AM 950, we're having fun.
That's not a nice thing to do.
Well, I disagree with him. You know, I'm trying to make you laugh.
Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that.
Sometimes I get lucky.
I find that appalling.
Well, we have a lot of silly sound clips, but I am a lawyer and we are serious here. Law, civics, politics, silliness, and humor. Join me 5 o'clock every afternoon on AM 950.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
The progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here with you today. And there has been a lot of disappointing climate news, both nationally and internationally. But joining us, Executive Director of the Minnesota Environmental Partnership is Steve Morris, who has some good news here in Minnesota. Steve, good to have you here.
Hey, great to be on, and even better to be able to talk about some positive news on the climate front.
And we'll get to that. I just am very curious, though, of your thoughts about France and the Yellow Jacket movement protest to Macron's gas tax that would be for helping climate change, and just that total reaction that has turned violent and created a movement. What is your thoughts on what's going on in France?
Well, two things really. As I understand, what happened in France is that the fuel tax was a bit of a catalyst that really helped ignite a protest that was around a lot of different issues about Macron and his government and how he was dealing with a lot of people in France. And so it's not just the fuel tax, but that's definitely part of it. And the second thing is, you know, I don't know fully how they were structuring the fuel tax, but I think it really is a precautionary lesson for us. Is, you know, we know we need to raise the price of carbon. That's really the most efficient cross-economy tool for dealing with our climate change and changing our habits around carbon. But it's a reminder that it has to be done in such a way that it affects, that it doesn't negatively impact those who are most affected by the change in prices and by those who are bearing the biggest brunt of the climate change that's already happening. And so, you know, to me, what that tells me is we just have to be really thoughtful about this as we do it to make sure that we're not aggravating the already great economic disparities in our country as we look at how we restructure to move to the low-carbon economy of the future. So it's a big task, and it's a real, what should I say, a very plain and bold reminder of how important it'll be to structure that properly.
Yeah, that I really like your take on that, and I totally agree that there was a lot of lessons to be learned there.
Mm-hmm.
So with the new legislator and governor-elect Tim Walz, we have a new opportunity to kind of lead here in Minnesota. What are some initiatives that you expect them to pursue?
Well, you know, it's unclear exactly what the new administration will do. You know, we feel that everything that is done now has to be done through the lens of climate and the climate change that we're facing. You know, but a couple of things that we think are really good maneuvers and actions that they can take right away is to begin that regulation of carbon, so that we have some economy-wide tools to start limiting the gases that are most driving our climate change here in both in the state and across the whole globe. And the other one is around vehicles. You know, what's happened is that we have reduced our carbon output from our electrical sector, but now the growing transportation sector is the leading generator of greenhouse gas pollution in the state. And so, you know, what we need to do is really move aggressively to electrify our transportation system, so make everything that we can run out of electricity as we continue to decarbonize and make greener our electricity. And so, you know, really that's the long-term play on this. And there are things that the administration could do to increase the availability of zero-emission vehicles and electric vehicles here in the state. So those are, you know, they can do that statewide.
So here in the Metro, Metro Transit announced that this week that's starting to phase out diesel buses in favor of electric vehicles, likely purchasing only electric buses after 2022. So why don't you explain what that means and the implications and benefits because of this decision?
Yeah, it's a really big idea, and it's a big deal. It's a big idea, and that's what's got us excited this week. Is that the Metro Council is saying, you know, although the technology is still new, you know, the way we may drive change, the way we develop this technology is to buy and invest and start using it. So you know, they've already got 8 electric buses that are to be online, kind of the first all electric buses that they'll be experimenting with on the C line, which is expected to start operation next year. And now they're saying they're going to purchase, they put off purchasing new diesel buses, and they are saying they're going to purchase, you know, up to 125 new electric buses by the year 2022 in order to really start getting them into their operation, figuring out the charging, figuring out the cold temperature operations, and seeing how they work. But their plan is to really go all electric, and that's incredible. You know, that's exactly what we need to do with our whole transportation system, just as I was saying. And with 900 to 1,000 buses in the metropolitan area that are now, you know, each spewing their own diesel fumes, it's an excellent move for the health of people's lungs right nearby, and also a good strategy for climate mitigation. So we really applaud it. It's a big step forward, and it's the type of leadership that we need now. You know, we can no longer just do this a little bit and say, well, we're going to buy a few of these and just run them for 10 years and see how they work. No, we have to go faster than that. We have to start. We have to figure out how to make them work, and then proceed on an aggressive timeline on many fronts. But this is an excellent example of that.
And Xcel Energy announced last week an ambitious decarbonization plan. Why don't you explain what that means? That's kind of a huge deal, and even beyond just here in Minnesota.
Yeah. You know, Xcel, which provides electricity throughout the metropolitan area and the larger communities across the state, took a big step. So they've already said they're going to be 80% carbon free by the year 2030. But, you know, and that's really commendable. But at the year 2030, they expect to have two nuclear plants still operating. And so it gives them a big chunk of carbon free fuel that's not renewable, that's not wind and solar and that type of, you know, renewable resource. But now they've gone a step further and said by the year 2050, they're going to be 100% carbon free. And that's a really big deal. I mean, that is the type of initiative that we need to take, and we need to get 80% and more of our carbon out of our entire economy by the year 2050. So for Xcel to say they're going to be carbon neutral by 2050 is a big step in the right direction, and I applaud them. Now, what I would say is I'm not sure that's the right timeline. Maybe it should be a little faster. And the other thing I would question is how much of that is going to be renewables, especially wind and solar. And I think it's important that the lion's share of that be wind and solar, so we're not relying on carbon capture or other types of energy that's low carbon but may not be as preferred as wind and solar, which is doing a great job of providing jobs here in the state, economic development, while delivering cheap, really cheap, dependable power.
Now, how far do you think Minnesota can get on its own without the cooperation of the federal government?
Well, and that's of course an excellent idea. I mean, question. You know, we can influence the overall economy, but you know, our biggest play is probably influencing what our federal government does, and ultimately, you know, that'll have a bigger impact on what happens to our economy, what happens to the world economy. So the work that we're doing here in Minnesota is really important to help direct what happens nationally and therefore internationally, but we still have to really work up to a national strategy and an international strategy. We're really happy that we have a couple of our member organizations representing Minnesota at the COP24 conference that's going on now in Poland. They're, you know, really facing some hurdles because of the lack of leadership, or the, should I say, the unhelpful, I can't even call it leadership, it's backward motion of the current administration in Washington. But we're going to get around that because we don't have any choice. And so, you know, I hope they're on a limited timeline before we get to the next election. And we're all hopeful that we'll have new and more enlightened leadership coming in a couple of years. And so we have to do as much as we can, run as fast as we can until then. But our hope is that ultimately we get really strong federal policy.
Yeah, and in regards to the new leadership, we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez championing the Green New Deal and drawing a lot of attention to this. What do you think of her plan and just kind of the momentum that is building with?
Well, we think it's fantastic, and I'm not well versed in the specifics of everything that they're asking, but that is the type of leadership that we need. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. How do we make sure we don't cause damage and more distress like what we're seeing the outcomes in France, so that we really develop our economy around this new low carbon model, create jobs, create more sustainability locally, and it's a bold vision, but I think the country is rapidly getting ready to embrace such a bold vision, and so I'm really heartened by it because that's the sort of transformational policy and thinking that we need to see, and the leadership we need to see, because we can't do this in baby steps anymore. You know, this has been an issue for, you know, 30 years, and we're just finally getting some speed on it. But we have a limited amount of time to get our work done, and so I'm really encouraged by it.
Absolutely. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can take action or get more information from your organization?
Sure, and you know, we're in the process of getting ready to move into the next legislative session. As always, there'll be lots of actions, and there'll be actions also within the administration. This isn't just legislative, but as we work with the administration to advance a policy here in the state, go to our website, mepartnership.org, so it's like mepartnership, all one word, .org, and sign up for action alerts and to take action and for more information to follow.
Well, Steve, thank you for joining us and providing some good news on climate initiatives, because it can be tough to weed those out with this Trump administration and just the negativity with on this topic we hear so much. So I appreciate that.
I mean, it's so easy to get down about it all because it can be so overwhelming. But there are a lot of people doing a lot of great things, and we just have to do more.
Absolutely. That was Steve Morris, Executive Director of the Minnesota Environmental Partnership. We are going to take a break. Our phone number is 952-946-6205 on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman for Continental Diamond. You've heard me talk about this place for a long time, and this holiday season, it's time to get your loved one a gift that will last a lifetime. Their experts know all the latest trends and will help you find the perfect gift to fit any budget with an amazing in-stock selection to choose from. Stay away from the craziness of the malls and visit Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park and at ContinentalDiamond.com. That's Continental Diamond for the perfect holiday gift.
I'm Connie Buehr, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. Let's talk about self-love. Do you possess it? Join us next week as we explore what it means to love yourself and how to put that emotion into action for positive change in your life. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Burger Mo's makes holiday gifting easy and rewarding. For every $100 in gift cards purchased, valid at both Burger Mo's and the Downtowner Woodfire Grill, receive a bonus $20 gift card for yourself. Burger Mo's offers 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, panini, shakes, and desserts, and two daily happy hours. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul, with plenty of free parking and online at burgermos.com.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Toyotathon is on. Get over to Rudy Luther Toyota for huge Toyotathon discounts. Rudy Luther is one of the largest volume Toyota certified pre-owned dealers in the U.S. They have the right cars in the best condition at the Rudy Luther Toyota fair value price. And Rudy Luther needs more cars and trucks to sell. So right now, you get a great Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy price on your vehicle. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com for all the Toyotathon deals. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here with you today. Our phone number is 952-946-6205, and the big news of the day is in the Senate, they passed a resolution to challenge unauthorized U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen. This would require the U.S. to cease its involvement if a complementary bill in the House passes. However, House Speaker Paul Ryan on Wednesday pushed language through the House that would prevent lawmakers from taking up any resolution to end U.S. support in the war in Yemen this year. The provision was tucked into a rule for the 2018 Farm Bill, which governs how the Farm Bill will be debated and voted on. Rules are approved by the House Rules Committee, and also known as the Speaker's Committee, because it's stacked in favor of the majority and usually takes direction from the House Speaker. The rule said a section of the War Powers Resolution won't apply for the rest of the current Congress to any resolution related to Yemen that effectively prevents the House from taking up the Senate's resolution. So Republicans and Democrats in the House who favored the vote blasted Ryan's move, which they said was underhanded. And this is kind of the last legacy of Paul Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff is, I don't know, it's BS. It gets me pissed off. It ought to be illegal. I don't understand how it's not illegal to package these completely unrelated ideas into things that have no relevancy and that are almost political suicide to vote against.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. And there's a long history of this. It's not going away because we've dealt with this for centuries now. This is how the United States government functions. And it's very frustrating. And the closer that you analyze how anything gets done, it just blows your mind that this is how our laws are written. But a big part of the vote in the House was our own Colin Peterson, who badly wants to pass this farm bill. He was asked, can you explain your vote on the Yemen resolution? Peterson said, yeah, it didn't belong in there. He asked, why not? Couldn't you just have come back and done another vote? Peterson, no, we've worked for 2 years on this bill, and I'll be damned if I let anyone screw it up. Well, do you have any thoughts on the war on Yemen? Peterson, I don't know a damn thing about it, and it shouldn't be there, and it didn't do anything anyway. Then asked, what do you mean by that? And Peterson responded, all it did was say that we couldn't vote on something, didn't authorize anything, it didn't, you know, our party gets off on tangents, it's ridiculous. So Peterson said, of the midterms that Democrats in red districts or red states, most of them did not survive. John Tester and myself are probably the only two who survived in the whole country. And what am I going to do with a Democratic caucus that is 95% urban and suburban? So Peterson was very tied to this farm bill and had to get it through as it was his big promise to his constituents. And to his credit, this farm bill, the largest portion of the farm bill is actually SNAP benefits, or food stamps as they're known. It accounts for 80% of the funding of this bill. So getting that through is important, but not standing up and challenging what happened is the problem here. And I think Matt McNeil did a beautiful job covering this and blasting Peterson for his vote and delaying this until the next congressional session. Hopefully, though, with a Democratic majority, they're able to take this up and get this war in Yemen
at least not supported by the U.S. government.
Yeah, the problem is that this is going to continue now for at least a month or two.
Yeah, and how many people are going to starve to death in that meantime?
And the numbers are scary with that. So
it's kind of ironic, you know, that it took Khashoggi, I think, being murdered for us to all realize the crimes of Saudi Arabia.
I know there was no attention
to this. There's some silver lining to that, but
there was absolutely no attention to this until that happened, and then there was an outrage, and even Republicans were able to get on board.
Whoa, Saudi Arabia. It might be bad, guys.
Which brings me to another point. Observing what's going on and with 2020 coming, I'm curious, who is the leader of the Democratic Party at this point? Because it's clear that Trump is leading the Republicans and they're taking their talking points from him. But observing the Democratic Party, the only person that I see that has the qualities of leadership right now is Bernie Sanders.
And he's not
he's
even
not
technically
a Democrat.
Yeah.
So, because when you watch what transpired with this whole deal in Yemen, it was Bernie who was consistent. It was Bernie who was drawing attention to this. It was Bernie who was getting Republicans on board after the Khashoggi killing, and it's just he's the one setting the rules. Like, he's the one making the platform that other potential wannabe leaders are following. Like, I saw Kamala Harris tweet out her platform because she's an obvious 2020 candidate, and It was Medicare for all, $15 minimum wage. And it's like, well, Kamal, where have you been your entire career on these things? Now that it's politically convenient, that is what you want to focus on instead of your history as a prosecutor. So Bernie Sanders has a decades-long consistency. And
yeah, it's unfortunate he's so old when all this starts coming into public awareness.
Yeah, because he really doesn't have anyone to hand it off to. And I wish that Paul Wellstone and Bernie Sanders could have collaborated in the Senate together, because Paul Wellstone was really the first Bernie Sanders in the Senate. Bernie was in the House when Paul was in the Senate.
And that's what kind of scares me about how old he is that all of our politics in the United States are based on specific individuals. We follow them. But when Bernie goes away, who does the predominant progressive movement continue on, or does it just kind of dissipate with Bernie's disappearance?
Well, the hopeful and optimistic take on that is, at least with how Bernie is presenting this, is it's a platform. It's a progressive platform rather than a progressive personality. Like with Obama, it died with Obama when he left office. We couldn't carry anything on because no one can be Obama. No one can be as charismatic or share those tendencies. And that will be a problem, I feel, for the Republicans, because they're completely led by personality and charisma with Trump. And when you watch other Republicans try and mimic Trump, it's embarrassing. It's not something you can pass the torch to. So at least with Bernie, it's a platform. And it's new, though, for Democrats to go down this alley and be that progressive and not afraid of the political consequences. But now we're seeing that the people are behind it and that it is politically popular to back these things that for a long time were a death sentence. Think of Dennis Kucinich's 2004 run. Very similar to Bernie Sanders.
He was laughed at.
Yeah, mocked and thought as ridiculous. He polled at like 1 or 2%.
I remember the Daily Show was making a punchline of his support of transgender individuals and their rights.
Yeah, and that's what's great is Bernie was never afraid of these things and has been consistent his whole career. So it is something that other candidates can pick up. It's just scared when I see others that don't have the same history as him. Well, that's all we got for today. Listening, this is Hunter and Eric signing off on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Bye.